Thank you for downloading this sermon brought to you by the preaching ministry of Liberty Baptist Church of Las Vegas, Nevada, Dr. David Tice. For more sermons in both audio and video format, we encourage you to visit experienceliberty.com. Also, for a word of encouragement, insight, and biblical inspiration, follow Pastor David Tice's blog at davidtice.com. So without further ado, let's open our hearts to the Word of God.
All right, welcome everybody. Good to see you tonight. 2 Timothy chapter number 2, verse number 15 in your Bibles. I want to start with a story as to why this scripture. Am I talking too loud? I feel like I'm, do I need to bring it down a bit? Sorry, and I naturally, when I'm in this room, I talk loud. I apologize. 2 Timothy 2:15. I want to start with a story as to why this verse has such deep meaning in my life. Let's rewind here X amount of years to when Steve Livingston was 11 years old. I remember being an 11-year-old kid in the Nevada public school system, and I was on the brink of getting kicked out of the public school system. I had been in two different schools, and it seemed like I couldn't make it a solid week without getting into some major altercation with other kids or a teacher. Some my own fault, some not my own fault. And I remember being faced with them saying, hey, really, Steve needs to not be in a public school next year. And I remember my dad and my mom began talking about different options of what to do with me and how to educate me. And it was clear that that was just not going to work. There was no way I was going to get a solid education by going to public school. And my dad came up with the option of Agape boarding school. And they presented it to me to go there. I'll never forget, my dad brought home this brochure about Agape boarding school. And as you read this brochure, there was lots of pictures and very little print, just the way I like it. And I remember the first page in, there was a beautiful basketball court, all freshly paved, fresh lines, nice cover on it. And I thought, oh man, I love basketball. This is going to be great. I remember seeing in the next page, maybe it said there was a swimming pool. And I thought, oh man, I love to swim. I'm a Vegas kid. I grew up in a swimming pool and I love to swim. And they had just finished the swimming pool. And I thought, oh, this is going to be epic. I'm so excited. Flip the next page and they had horses and they had water buffalo. They even had two real life full-size spitting camels. And I thought, well, you know, I don't know about the horses. There's no gas pedal. There's no on-off switch. I'm not real sure about that. But hey, you know, well, why not? When in Rome, give it a try. And I thought, okay, animals. That's going to be great. And I thumbed through the brochure, and thing after thing, I just thought, this is going to be a year of summer camp. I am so excited. So they packaged me up, and we set a date, and I got on the plane with my mom and my dad. They were divorced at the time, had come together to send me there. And I remember I got to the school, and they walk you around the school with your parents, and all of the staff members had big smiles on their face. They were excited to see me. Everybody was super nice and receptive. And I remember we walked around and I saw all of the things that I saw in the brochure. I saw the basketball court and I thought, oh, as promised. I saw the volleyball court, real sand volleyball court. And I thought, oh, this is going to be great. They had a boat that in the brochure showed water skis up against it. And I thought, oh, I love water skiing. Walked around, saw everything. I thought, this is a good situation. Next part I will truly never forget. They brought me into a room, and you know, I was 11 years old. I didn't have a whole lot of situational awareness, but what they had done is secluded me from the rest of everybody. They bring you in this room, and in this room, you would say goodbye to your mom and dad, and I remember the rules of the school very carefully, very intentionally placed were that you weren't going to talk to mom and dad for the next 30 days, and I didn't think that was too big of a deal. You know, I'm a self-sufficient 11-year-old. I'm ready to summer camp. What do I need mom and dad for? Let's do this thing. I said goodbye to my mom. I said goodbye to my dad. She cried. I cried. It was, you know, emotional. They walked out the door, and the moment the door closed, all of those smiling faces stopped smiling. I didn't think anything of it. They grabbed my suitcase, and they unzipped it, and they had a big table out in front of me, and they kind of roughly spilled my suitcase out, and I thought, well, that was unnecessary. You know, why has it got to be like that? They kind of rummaged through my suitcase, and they made a big pile and a small pile, and the small pile was the stuff I could have, and the big pile was the stuff that they put in a black trash bag, and I would not see again for a year. They took all of my clothes, and I'll never forget, they walked out with a pair of Wrangler jeans, and we're talking like the cheap ones from Walmart that you could buy for like $6, the ones that are more like cardboard, and I'm not sure that they were in my size, and they took those, and they took all of my clothes, gave me new clothes. They gave me bright orange, neon orange t-shirts so that they could see me wherever I went. They took my shoes, and I've always been a shoe guy, and I was a little offended at that. They took my shoes, and they gave me shoes that were about 4 or 5 sizes too big and had no tongues and no laces. And I'm just trying to figure out what's going on, right? I'm like, well, when do we go water skiing? Are these the skis? You know, what's the deal here? What are we doing? The very next thing that they did is they walked me out of that room and into boot camp. Every new kid that came to the school, the very first thing they did is they introduced them to boot camp. And when you got into boot camp, everybody, when there was a new student, would take a break and they would start off, they would kick the whole summer camp experience off with a PT session. PT sessions, I very quickly found out what that sand volleyball pit was for. Do you know I played very few games of volleyball in that sand volleyball pit? I got out there and I met a guy named Brother Vanderkoy. Brother Vanderkoy was about 6'6". He had freckles on his face, red hair, and a booming, loud drill sergeant type of voice. And I remember he explained to me how PT works. The exercises were numbered 1 through 5. And I don't remember which one went with which, but I remember number 5. Number 1 may have been push-up position, and 2 was sit-ups, and 3 was leg lifts, and 4 was jogging in place. And maybe I have the numbers mixed up, but I remember number 5 being called the low crawl. I had no idea what a low crawl is, but he said, number 1! And boom, all the boys get in push-up position. So I'm like, all right, I'll do it. I get in push-up position. He started saying up and down, and we were doing push-ups. I'm like, man, this is rotten summer camp. 2, 3, 4, 1, 2. And he would just kind of shuffle through the numbers, and everybody was reacting quick, and I was just trying to keep up. And then he said number 5, and do you know what these other boys did? Got down on their faces, and they started to scoot themselves all the way to the other end of this volleyball court and back. I looked at him, looked at the volleyball court. I thought, no, I ain't doing that. Are you serious? And I remember I'm 11 years old, and I'm a relatively large 11-year-old. I was probably, I don't know, 5'10 or so and close to 200 pounds. And I just, my answer to things had been physical to this point, and I just thought, I'm not doing that. You know, I played your game. Let's go water skiing. And he said, boy, number 5, low crawl now. And I said, no. And he looked at me and he said, if you don't do it, I'm going to make you do it. I thought, no. Moments in life I will never forget. I remember I reared back as big as I could, made a fist, I swung as hard as I could at that man. And the next thing I know, I was on the ground, on my face. And do you know what this guy did? He took my little 11-year-old arm and he bent it all the way up behind my back like this. Have you ever done that? This is child abuse. I just want you to know. Took my little 11-year-old arm, and as if that wasn't painful enough, right? Because if you leverage that, that hurts. But then he took this little finger, this very same finger, and he took it and he bent it just like this. And he just started ranking on it and squeezing on it. And I laid there on the ground with his knee in my back and my arm all up behind my back, and I was just screaming. And you know what that man did? He just calmly said, I will let go when you be quiet. Hush now. Hush now. You hush up and I'll let go. I screamed for what felt like an eternity until finally I realized that this guy was not kidding and I had, and he let go. Do you know what the very next thing I did? I learned a low crawl. I learned a low crawl that day. I would learn lots of lessons. The swimming pool, I think I swam in it a couple times, but I learned that PT was especially brutal over a swimming pool because leg lifts are okay if you can set your legs down when you come down, but if you're doing it over a swimming pool, it's just worse. Sit-ups are okay, but if you're doing them over a swimming pool, so many lessons learned at boarding school, so many difficult, fun stories to tell. I learned a lot at boarding school. It would be about 4 weeks after that I would get saved, and then about 2 weeks after that the Lord would get a hold of my heart, and I would get saved. It was a Christian place run by all Christian people, and the Lord used that school to introduce me to Jesus. One of the other things that they did, right from the very get-go, week 1, they encouraged the boys in the school to memorize scripture. And they didn't force it on you, but their way of motivating you was fast food. And to this day, that's still a relatively good motivator in my life. What they would do is a place locally called Sundays, and Sundays had delicious hamburgers and delicious shakes, And if you would memorize five verses of scripture and recite them on time, I remember it was every Thursday, if you would recite those five verses of scripture, they would give you points that you could redeem on Friday night, and you could get Sunday's fast food, and you could save it up and get whatever you wanted. I remember the very first time I cracked the Word of God and committed a scripture to memory, it was 2 Timothy chapter number 2, verse number 15. And that has become, some people would say they have a life verse, 2 Timothy chapter number 2, verse number 15, the very first scripture I ever memorized, has become my life verse. And tonight, I want to go word through it and just unpack it with you and have a little bit of fun. We'll laugh a little bit, we'll learn a little bit, and then we'll leave here hopefully edified and changed. Let's pray real quick, and then we'll get into the Word of God. Lord, I pray that you would make this profitable. God, I pray that you would take me out of the equation, and Lord, I pray that you would speak through me. Lord, I pray that we would enjoy studying your Word tonight. God, I pray that we would refocus, not let the distractions of work and responsibilities and those things get in the way. But Lord, I pray that momentarily we would focus on you and your Word. Lord, we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter number 2, verse number 15. I'm going to quote it many times tonight. The Bible says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of God." We'll get started here with our notes. Does this thing move? Boom, there we go. The first word that we run into there is the word study, or so translated in the King James Version there. But as you read that word study, some of you right there in that moment as I said that, you had like post-traumatic stress, you know, from school and having to study in books. Don't worry. The word study there does not necessarily mean study in the way that you and I in our modern English would read and understand it. It's not just pull out books and read and understand. It's not an educational type of studying. When the Bible uses the word study in 2 Timothy 2:15, it is the Greek word spoudazo. Now, I want you to know, I took 4 years of Greek, and I remember a little bit of it. I'm not going to go all Greek on you tonight, I promise. But I think that the words are important, and one of the things we're going to do is we're going to use other instances of the Greek underlying word to define this verse. And so if you're looking at this and you're like, I did not come here for a Greek lesson tonight, don't get overwhelmed. There's just going to be a few Greek words up there. Don't worry about it. Spoudazo. There's three main thoughts under the word spoudazo. The first is speed, the second is effort, and the third is earnest. Let's focus first of all on speed, the idea of an immediate response. How many of you guys like me enjoy a good procrastination? Anybody enjoy a good procrastination? I'm a good procrastinator. I think there's everybody who's got a little talent at this. This year, we've received a ton of rain in the Las Vegas Valley. It's been a really good thing. The ground is more moist. Did you know that Lake Mead has actually gone up instead of down? I mean, it's still way down overall, but it's gone up a little bit. We're in good shape there. It's moving the right direction. But all of this rain has brought apart or has brought about a byproduct in my yard in the form of weeds. Is there anybody else who's facing the weed problem right now? Oh, my goodness. Listen, they grow so fast, they grow like weeds. Like now I totally understand the saying. And usually weeds are a problem, but not like this. Right now, if you were to come to my house and we have a somewhat larger yard, the whole thing is green. And I have all desert landscaping. There's not supposed to be any green. And you know how it started? It started with a couple little shoots of green popping up. And you know what I thought? I thought, oh, I better go get the Roundup, because if I get it right now, it won't be a big deal. And then in a matter of days or weeks, it changes. Literally, every time I drove home for like a week, I could see, ooh, that got worse. Now here we are 3 or 4 weeks in, and I almost have grass. I'm thinking about investing in a mower. Instead of pulling the weeds, maybe I'll cultivate them and see if I can get them to look like a lawn. Why did this happen? Because I procrastinated the response. When the Bible says the word study, the first thing I want you to take away is the sense of urgency. This is not something you can procrastinate. What God is about to discuss with you and I here tonight is not a situation that you put off. It's not something that, oh, I'll get to it eventually. It's got to happen immediately. There's no person in this room who says, I'm not there yet or I'm past it. It's an immediate action item for every person in this room. The second thing that I want you to notice about the word spoudazo, the underlying word to the word study, is effort. That is that you have to put in the appropriate amount of effort in order to see the appropriate amount of return. So one of my hobbies, one of the things I like to do is I'm a car guy. There's sports guys and there's tech guys and there's like card game guys and there's video game guys. I am a car guy. I am one of those. I like being greasy. I like working on cars. And it really is a good, enjoyable pastime. It saves me money from time to time, not putting cars in the shop. But you know, there's always a moment whenever I get involved in an automotive project where it goes from being fun and starts to look an awful lot like work. I can't tell you how many times I've gotten out in my garage and I'm in dirty clothes and I'm like, man, I'm going to work on my Mustang and this is going to be awesome. And then I lay down under the car and I've got it up in the air and I've got tools in my hand and I start looking at the project ahead of me and I'm like, man, this was supposed to be fun, but this is looking an awful lot like work. And I know that at the end of it, my arms are going to hurt and I'm going to be covered in dirt and then the next day I'm going to be sore. But if I want to see the end product, then I've got to put forth the effort. There's no way to get to a fixed car or a fixed up car without putting in the effort. And even though it looks like work, there's got to be the reasonable amount of effort put into this. When God says the word study, it means immediate response. It's something that we put effort into, despite it being a little bit of a challenge up front. And then finally, as we look and conclude the word study here, the idea that we want to add to this is earnestness, a level of commitment to this task. Now, I know the next part's not going to seem applicable to me in particular, but has anybody ever taken on a diet before? Anybody ever taken on a diet before? Yeah, I don't like dieting. I just don't. And I know you guys are looking at me like, hey, you know, you're the epitome of dad bod. There's probably no need. You know, why would you be considering dieting? But I'm just trying to slim down a little bit, okay? But I have no self-control when it comes to food. It's difficult for me. It's just difficult. Why? Because God made all the good foods bad and all the bad foods good. I don't understand why he did that, but he did. So my diet is not real serious. I don't go nuts. I'm not on the, what are the different diet fads? See, I don't even know the different diet fads, but I'm not on any diet fads. The only thing that I'm trying to do, oh, maybe this is a diet fad, and I'm just not aware. I'm doing fasting, but it's at a certain particular period of time. Intermittent fasting. Yes, we have some diet gurus out there. I'm doing intermittent fasting, and so my goal with my diet is not to eat between the hours of 8 p.m. and 1 p.m. the next day. And the reason I'm doing this is because this is the easiest diet that I can take on and reasonably achieve. But I'm telling you right now, it's still a sacrifice. There is nothing more in life than I enjoy than the heavenly moo juice that is milk. Just for the record, in case you were wondering, there's only two types of food described in the Promised Land. One of them is honey, and the other one is milk. And it's not coming from goats, I promise you. So milk, I'm telling you, I just love it. I love nothing more than to finish my evening, 9, 10 o'clock, sitting in my bed, with my shelf, with a Costco muffin. You know the kind. They're about this big. They fill the plate. They got chocolate chips and they're chocolate themselves. But listen, the muffin's not the main attraction. It's just an excuse to drink the Yeti full of milk. I have a 32-ounce Yeti and I have frozen mugs and sometimes I'll fill it once or twice. And while I love to do that, it's just not working for me anymore. That has passed. And so I would love to sit down 9 o'clock at night and do that. But my diet, my commitment is I have cut that out. And reasonably, I can eat what I want during the day. And I think that's why I like the intermittent fasting. And somewhat it's easy during the day from the breakfast time hours to 1 o'clock. If I'm at work, I can easily get through to 1 o'clock and not be thinking about food. But I'm telling you, that hours of like 6 o'clock to 9 o'clock where I'm just home and my refrigerator is calling to me and the milk is calling to me, I just want you to know, that's the definition of trials right there. That's trials. If I want to see results, though, if I want to actually see the number on the scale go down, if I want to see my blood pressure and my blood sugar improve, it is not going to work if there's not relative commitment to that diet. If I take every other day or every third day and I call it a cheat day and I do the Costco muffin and I do the Yeti full of milk and I consume 1,200 calories of deliciousness and then go to sleep, there won't be any results. Why? Because there is a lack of commitment. When God says the word spoudazo or the word study in this verse, it also involves the concept of earnestness, a commitment to this topic. Now, there's two things I want to draw out here. One is you've got to get committed. The other is you've got to not be discouraged when commitment breaks. It's so easy to go, well, I set the goal and I failed. I guess I'll just give up. Can I challenge you? When you drop a commitment, pick it back up and renew it. And when the Bible says the word earnestness found underlying the word spoudazo or study, it has the idea of commitment. And even if you fail, it's not the end of the world. Pick that commitment back up and continue moving forward. Study. Next, the Bible says, to show thyself approved unto God. To show thyself approved unto God. Interesting concepts here. There's all kinds of things these days that are competing for our approval. I mean, we're pretty much a nation built on levels of approval. So, for instance, anybody got Facebook or TikTok or any other social media account? Anybody got that? Really, if you look at social media, the whole thing is a giant model to gain your approval and to give you a format to gain the approval of others around you. And it's interesting how generationally we, my generation and even more so the next generation of Americans, have been programmed to focus on the approvals of social media. We become very concerned with how many likes our post gets or how many views our content gets. And it's easy to be focused on the approval of people and things outside of God. When we are to look for God's approval, and the Greek word underlying there is the word dokimos, when we look for approval, the first concept that I want you to get is that the focus here is no other approval besides God's is number one priority. Sometimes it's not just social media. I know there's a significant crowd in here who would not be partakers of social media. I laud you because you're not wasting a bunch of time on it like the rest of us are. Sometimes it's work, and we can live our lives and goal-orient our lives with approval and different levels of approval at work. Where our focus day-to-day is not, man, I've got to serve God, and man, I've got to get God's approval, but we go throughout our days, and we are motivated and focused on, I've got to get that good rating at work. I've got to get my boss's attention. I've got to get the approval of my coworkers. Do you know we can do this in our personal lives as well? We can live in such a way where we are motivated and focused on gaining the approval of our friends, where the decisions that we make and the clothes that we wear and the places that we go and the things that we buy and the different things we use to motivate us in life are geared towards gaining the approval of our friends. Now, necessarily, it's not a bad thing to want to excel at work and to have your boss's approval. It's not a bad thing to have friends and have people that like you and agree with the decisions you make. None of those things are inherently bad things. They become an issue when we lose sight of God's approval in favor of those approvals. When God says dokimos, the idea of approving, the idea is you only seek God's approval. Now, here's something cool that happens. Turn with me to Romans chapter number 14. Again, we're going to look at a couple instances of this word, dokimos. Acts, Romans. I got to pick up my pace. Romans chapter number 14. And the Bible says there in verse number 13 through 18, Let us not therefore judge one another any more, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. I know and I am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean in and of itself, but to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou uncharitably, without love, that is. Do not destroy him with thy meat, for whom the Lord died. Boy, that's convicting. Verse number 16, let not then your good be evil spoken of, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Now catch this here, read along with me. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable. That's the word dokimos. To God and approved. I apologize, acceptable is not. See, there we go with my whole Greek degree. Acceptable is not to God. And then the second word there, and approved of men. That word approved is the word dokimos. Interesting concept. For he that is in these things, serveth Christ, is acceptable to God. Notice the order, acceptable to God first, and then second of all, is approved of men. So often we get focused on gaining the approval of our boss. So often we get focused on gaining the approval of our friends. Maybe it's the things that we do or the house that we live in or the places we go or the vacations we take. We get so focused on the approval of social media or parents and we lose sight of the approval of God, when if you focus on the approval of God, the approval of man follows after. Did you catch that? The Bible said there in verse number 18, let him be approved of God. Oh, and by the way, as an additional prize, there will be the acceptance and the approval of men. Let me draw this into a little bit of perspective here. It's impossible to please everybody, right? How many guys, you parents in this room, have ever, after church, gotten in the car and you've said, hey, let's go out to eat, and you've said, let's go to, and I'm just going to pick one, Chipotle. And half of the car goes, yeah, I love Chipotle. And half of the car goes, oh, I don't want Chipotle. Any parents ever been there? Here's another one. Okay, this is one in my house that's a serious point. Okay, this is serious business here. What about the thermostat? You cannot please everybody with a setting on the thermostat. Now, here's my thought process, okay? I'm just gonna enlighten you here. In my house, honestly, if I could let it be all summer, I would keep it right at 66, 67, all summer, right? We have a small house, low ceilings, good AC units. I would just icebox the place. Maybe even lower at night, right? Maybe even lower at night. In the wintertime, if I had things my way, you would not hear the heater click on until the first digit was a 5, right? I mean, I'm talking 52, 53 degrees, and then maybe we'll click on the heater. Why? Because if you're cold, the Lord made these wonderful things called blankets and jackets. If you are cold, oh, I can just tell I'm losing half the women in here. I better take it easy. If you're cold, get a jacket. My goodness, right? Listen, I like it cold. The colder it is, I'm telling you, if it were a graph, cold equals more sleep. That's the colder it is, the better I sleep. Do you know when I get angry and frustrated in life? When it's hot. If it's hot, my frustration level goes up. It's interesting how in life we will work so hard to gain the approval of different people. And the truth of the matter is chasing after the approval of people is like chasing after pleasing everybody with the thermostat. You may get some, but when you get one, you are guaranteed to lose another. And it can become a futile and frustrating experience to continuously seek the approval of men. Why? Because that's not the approval we're supposed to be after. We are supposed to be after solely God's approval. And then the approval of the people that matter will fall in line with that. Dokimos, approved. Keep going with me here. Don't trip up God's other children, drawing that from the previous verses there. How do you gain God's approval? What are some practical steps that you can use to gain God's approval? First, don't trip up God's other children. My children, there's nobody on earth who can annoy Aubrey Livingston as well as Noah Livingston. And there's nobody on earth who can get Aubrey Livingston as well as Noah Livingston. I mean, they love each other, don't get me wrong, but they are experts at driving each other nuts, just absolute experts. In my house, there is a thing that Noah created, and it is called the jerk smile. It looks something like this. My kids can set each other off without saying a single word. My kids can set each other off without even touching each other. All that has to happen is me go, hey, we're going to Chipotle when Aubrey wanted to go to Chili's, and Noah will flash what we so lovingly call the jerk smile. And the next thing you know, from the back seat, Aubrey, he's smiling at me. You're like, yeah, I don't see the problem here. It's the jerk smile, and he's still doing it, and you can't see it. What are they doing? They're just tripping each other up. They're just making messes for each other. They're not being kind. They're not being loving. They're not being caring. They're not being compassionate. They're just not. And in so doing, they're creating issues for the people that they're supposed to be loving. Do you know how you get God's approval? Don't cause issues for the people you're supposed to be loving. Can you do it? Yeah? Should you do it, or should you do it in front of them? Maybe not. If we just approach the relationships with God's other people with a loving, caring, compassionate, preferential, the Bible says, in honor, preferring one another. If we approach God's people with that attitude, that is how we, first of all, please God. The Bible said there, as we read through those verses, don't be a stumbling block. Don't be a problem in the life of other believers. And ending in verse number 18, you would get that dokimos, first of all, from God, but second of all, from other people. How else can we practically gain God's approval? We can give the glory to God. 2 Corinthians chapter number 10 and verse number 18. 2 Corinthians chapter number 10 and verse number 18. Give me just a second to get there. The Bible says this, "For not he that commendeth himself is approved, but whom the Lord loveth, he commendeth." That word there, approved, once again, has the underlying word dokimos. For he that commendeth himself is not approved, but whom the Lord commendeth. The idea here is that a person saying, I am great, I did this, I want the glory, they've got their reward, but the person who is really approved, the person who is really rewarded in this situation is the person who says, oh, not me, oh, look at God. Do you want to gain the approval of God in your life? Then one key, easy way to do that is turn your life into one giant mirror that reflects on God. Okay, I'm going to be real candid with you into the human heart of Steve here. Will you not attack me, you promise? I really struggled about what I was going to teach tonight. And I've taught now for like 12 or 14 years here. I don't usually struggle. My connections class, I set the lessons ahead of time, and I don't struggle with what to teach. Can I be really candid with you? I genuinely struggled about what to teach about tonight. I thought about topic after topic. I wrestled with different scriptures and different passages. And as I thought through, what am I going to teach? What am I going to teach? What am I going to teach? I got to be really honest with you here. You promise not to judge? As I thought about it, the immediate thought I had is, man, Matt Marlar did a great job. And he did. He really did. In fact, every time Matt speaks, it speaks to me. He's one of my best friends on earth. And I just thought, oh, I got to do a good job. Matt did a good job. Hey, last week, oh, it was good. I'd never heard him speak before. It was really good. Super applicable. Stacking habits. Oh, man, just meat after meat. Really good. And I thought to myself, whatever I do tonight, it's got to be good. Do you know what the problem with that is? Genuinely concerned about how it reflects on me. When the truth is, I need to be concerned about Steve's doing something, boom, let's let it reflect the glory of God. It's not on me to pick a good topic. It's not on me to go, oh, what do the people need? It's not on me to go, oh, let's make sure this is entertaining. Let's make sure this is applicable. Let's make sure we end on time. It's not on me, okay? It's about reflecting the glory of God with my life. Boy, this is a challenge. This is a challenge. So much so that even the angels struggled with this. Have you ever noted in Scripture an instance where an angel came to visit and the people were in awe of the angels? And just naturally realizing the supernatural power of angels, they would bow. And there's times in Scripture where the Bible says, an angel speaking, say, don't bow, don't bow. Get up. Why? Because the angels are there to reflect God. It is the angels who got sucked into pride and wanted the bowing that literally became demons. This issue in our lives of turning the glory to God and living in such a way where the things we do and the decisions we make and the relationships we keep all reflect the glory of God is foundationally important to gaining God's approval. It's fundamentally important. You cannot gain God's approval without giving God the glory. The glory genuinely has to go to God. I'm telling you, something I struggle with, something the very angels struggled with, something divisive in the heavens, and something you and I can work to have victory on. Give the glory to God. Third, how do you gain God's approval? Love the Lord in the midst of temptation. Now, focus on that word love. We're going to reinterpret that just a little bit. James 1 and verse number 12. James 1 and verse number 12, as we find that word dokimos again hidden in Scripture, the Bible says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Greek pop quiz. You guys with me? Greek pop quiz. I want you to raise your hands when I read the word dokimos. Are you with me? Pick it out of the Scripture here, all right? The Bible says, verse number 12, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised them that love him. Any guesses? Which word is it in here that was translated from dokimos? Charity? It is the word tried. Isn't that interesting here? How it's not just gaining God's approval, but there is a testing process that can take place in order to bring God's approval. Third practical way of how to gain God's approval in your life is to love the Lord in the midst of temptation. Now, the word love has lots of meanings, right? It took on a new meaning. When I got married, I learned a different type of love for my wife than I had for anybody else. There's love for your parents. There's love for your children. There's love for your hobbies. But when the Bible says the word love, and when I say it here in this context, I want you to think of in Matthew when the Bible says, if you love me, keep my commandments. How do you love God? By obeying him. How do you gain God's approval? By obeying him. In the big things and in the little things, you choose obedience. Last week, as Michael spoke, he talked about stacking habits. Oh, so applicable, so good. You don't have to tackle it all in one fell swoop. You can stack good habits one on another to see a massive result. Make a pattern of obedience in your life, in the large things and in the small. Make that a pattern in your life. Because by loving God through obeying him, you can gain God's approval. Now listen, this is what's interesting. You're not always going to get it right. But when God tests you, if you can respond with obedience, it will garner his approval. In a world where you're not sure how to gain everyone's approval, I love that God makes it simple. If you want to show me that you love me, if you want to endure temptation, the idea there is that you are being tested, you are being tried. The circumstances that come up in your life are testing and trying you to see whether or not you will choose to love your God, i.e. whether or not you will choose to obey him. Do you want to know if God approves of your behavior or not? Are you obeying him? Three practical ways to gain God's approval. All right, keep going with me here as we switch gears. Back to 2 Timothy chapter number 2, verse 15. The Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God, not seeking other people's approval. And then the Bible moves on and says, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. That next word, workman, there is the Greek word underlying ergates. Ergates. When we think of workmen, I want you to think of two main concepts. One is expectation, not option, and the other is labor versus reward. When the Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God, make effort, do this immediately. Seek only God's approval. The next thing he throws in there is that this is work. How many of you guys have or have had in the past a job? Pretty much everybody, right? Had a job. In my job, I'm the boss at the moment. I own the company. And so, I get the luxury of being the boss. I also get the stress and sleepless nights of being the boss. One of the things that is expected of any person who works in my company, now this is going to blow your mind, is that they do their job. One of the things that's expected of you when you go to work, if you go to work and you punch a time clock and you have a role to fill, it's expected of you at work that you fulfill your role. Why? Because it's work. That's what you do. You show up, you do your job, you go home, and you eat Costco muffins with milk. That's life. It's copy, paste, repeat, right? You're expected to work. When the Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman, this applies to everybody. Now, I don't know about you, but there are times when I just don't enjoy work. Remember we talked about yard work a few minutes ago and how the weeds have cropped up? I can work 12, 13, 14 hours straight underneath of a car until my back hurts and my arms can't be lifted above my head until I'm black from head to toe. I can do that. About 10 minutes into pulling weeds, oh, I'm dying. It's so hot out here. I hate this. I can't explain it. I just do not enjoy yard work. In fact, I have threatened several times to get rid of all my desert landscaping and just pave the whole house, the whole property, one giant parking lot. Maybe we'll paint a portion of it green or something. I don't know. Why? Because then there's no yard work. Maybe I have to pull out a leaf blower every so often. I do not enjoy yard work. Why? Because it is work. There is no work like yard work. So you know what I do? This is the secret. You employ Trey Berkey to come over and help with your yard work. That is what you do. That's the hack. Listen, when it comes to working, and the next portion we're going to see is in educating yourself in the scriptures, when it comes to working in that, you can't outsource it. You can't outsource it. In my line of business, I have two choices. I own a sign company. We can either order the sign and then resell it to the customer, or we can build it in-house. Now, I love building signs in-house because I get complete control over the quality of the sign. I get complete control over the time that it takes to manufacture it. So I like building things in-house. But there's times when there's capability that we don't have with our existing machinery or our existing facility, and the needs of the customer exceed what we can produce. And so we will reach out to a wholesale vendor and we will order the signage that we need from them, mark it up, and resell it to the customer. We call it outsourcing. You cannot outsource your own study in the Word of God. You have got to do the work yourself. You say, what do you mean, Steve? If you personally are not putting in the work to study the Word of God, then you are not a workman. If the only way that you're receiving in-depth Word of God is through Wednesday night or Sunday morning or your connections class, I want to laud you because those things are good things. And it is a good thing to receive the Word of God from other men of God. But the Bible says, as we're going to read, understanding and applying Scripture is your job. It's not Pastor Tice's job to study and then tell you solely. It is your job. It's not just your connection class teacher's job solely to search the Scriptures and understand them and then endow you with the wisdom of the Word of God. It is a personal job. It is your job and my job. Do you know this applies to Christians of all ages? There is not a person in this room who should not be a workman. Next, labor brings reward. 1 Timothy chapter number 5, verse number 18. Just a couple pages over with me. 1 Timothy 5:18. And the Bible says this, "For the scripture saith, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn, and the laborer is worthy of his reward." This is scriptural principle. This is why people from other religions who work hard see flourishment in their business, because it's biblical principle. When you work hard, there is reward for working hard. I hate doing yard work. I really do. But I love sitting in a lawn chair from my back patio and looking at a clean yard. I love it. Why? Because there is labor and there is reward in labor. You cannot get to the reward portion. You cannot get to God mightily working in your life through His Word without doing the work. And you cannot outsource it. Next, the Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. The Greek word underlying ashamed there is the word askunamai. What I want to challenge you with here is just take the next step and make learning the Word of God a priority. Just take the next step and make learning the Word of God a priority. I remember we bought our first house, and when we moved in, it had this funky linoleum, and then there were like sections that were carved out, that were carpeted. It was just funky, right? The house was built in the early 90s, and we wanted to change it. So I pulled everything up before we moved in, and I laid all new pergo laminate wood. It was the thing. I think it still is like a very common flooring type. I did the whole house with no problem, but right as you walk through the front door, there was two steps. And when I demoed the tile, it really destroyed the concrete below the steps. And so I finished the whole house, but it took me almost 6 months to finish those steps. Do you know what the problem was? I had no idea what the next step was. I could look at them and I could see they weren't covered in pretty flooring. And I knew I had to pour some concrete and I had to frame some stuff up, but I had never done it before. And so my natural tendency, when I don't know how to do the next step, or I don't know how to get to the end goal, my natural tendency is to scurry away from that and focus on something I do know how to do. And so months and months and months went by, and the entryway wasn't finished until finally my wife motivated me to get it finished. And you know, all I had to do was get to Lowe's. All I had to do was take that next step, and the next thing you know, I've got a bag of concrete, and I've got some 2x4s to frame it up. And within a matter of a couple days, I was able to completely wood that whole area. I was just afraid of the next step because I couldn't see how to get from here to there. So often, Christians get bogged down with this concept of studying the Word of God because you get overwhelmed with the concept of, oh, I've got to have commentaries, and I've got to understand the biblical languages, and I've got to, you hear people reading through the Bible once, twice, five times a year, and you think, I don't see how to get there from where I'm at. And you know what we do? Something else. If you don't want to be ashamed when it comes to the Word of God, the first thing you got to do is just take the next right step. Maybe for you, that is legitimately reading the scripture on your own, repeatedly, regularly, for the first time. For some of you, maybe it's getting out of just reading and adding in a commentary, adding in a biblical dictionary, beginning to look up the cross-references that are in the margins and allowing scripture to interpret scripture. If you are passive about learning the Word of God, or you are nervous to take the next step, then you're standing still. What happens when the boss comes and finds a worker standing still? He's ashamed. That's what the Bible's talking about here. First of all, just take the next step. Second of all, make it a priority. I'm going to go real quick here because I realize that I have already stolen 3 minutes from you. The next, make it a priority. There is not time for everything in life. One of the most valuable things a Christian can learn to do is to say the word no, and it's hard to do, but you've got to make studying the Word of God a priority. Coming up is the mini Grand Prix for Awana, and because I'm a car guy, I take this very personally. I am looking for the approval of men. Glory to God for the mini Grand Prix. I got to focus on that. But I really take the cars very seriously. Do you know last year, just the way things fell out, the mini Grand Prix sneaked up on me and neither of my kids had a car. There I am, the car guy. I'll never forget, a lady walked by. She said, my husband's not even here and we have cars. I felt about this big. I was like, oh. And my daughter was super good about it. We went to the Grand Prix with no car. Do you know how I felt? Ashamed. Because I had a job to do, and I didn't prioritize it, and it didn't get done. One day God is going to hold you accountable. You will be tested for the amount of time that you spent investing the Word of God into your heart. And the Bible says, don't be ashamed. Don't be embarrassed about the other things that you prioritized or your lack of taking the next step. Finally, correctly applying. The word underneath of the scripture here is the word orthomeo. It has the idea of cutting straight. The Bible says, 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Very briefly here, I was hoping he would be here tonight, but I don't see him. How many of you guys know Kyle? 6'5", good-looking guy, epic beard. Do you guys know what Kyle does for a living? I wonder if there's like a more modern word for this, but Kyle is a butcher for Smith's. Now listen, I am reasonably familiar with the parts of the cow, because I love all things that come from cows. I really do. The milk, the meat, it's all just good, right? And I could point out different parts of the cow, and I could be like, yeah, that's the tenderloin, and yeah, that's where the rib meat comes from, and I could show you probably where some of the sirloin comes from. I'm a steak guy, and so I could reasonably give you a cursory understanding from passively receiving knowledge about the cow. Do you know what Kyle can do? He can rightly divide the cow into all of its useful parts. If you handed me a cow and a giant knife, there's no way that I could divide that cow into a way where you could say, this is a good usable steak. This portion is going to be good for hamburger meat. This portion right here, you want to set this aside because this is the tenderloin and it is for special occasions. Why can I not divide the cow? Because while I may know cursory information about the cow, and while I may enjoy the cow, I myself have never divided and put to use a cow myself. You know, so often we do that with the Word of God. We know cursory information about it. We're familiar with it. But we are not dividing it and figuring out how to use it and apply it in our lives on our own. The Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. You're doing the job that God has called you to do in studying his word. And what is that? Rightly dividing the word of truth. The idea there is not just comprehension, not just knowing what the scripture says, not just knowing what passages of the Bible are about, not just knowing the stories, not just comprehension, not just knowing the parts of the cow, but practical application. God wants you to take the word of God and divide it and practically apply it to your life. And that is the theme of 2 Timothy chapter number 2 and verse 15. Hey, tonight, before we go, I wouldn't want to leave without giving you an opportunity to know the Lord as Savior. As I look across this crowd, I know that many of you have covered this, but the Bible wants us all to know that we are sinners, and because of our sin, there is payment and there is judgment coming. And rather than eternity in hell, God would rather us be in heaven with him. And so he did send Jesus Christ to die in our place. And we do not have to go to hell if we will accept the gift of salvation from Jesus. If you have not done that, let me challenge you with this. Do not leave here tonight without covering that. Get to know the Lord, first step through salvation tonight. Other than that, let's pray. Lord, we love you. We're glad that we get to be here tonight. God, I pray that we would not leave here unchanged. Lord, I pray that we wouldn't be focused on all of the responsibilities. Lord, I pray that we would allow time for your word to penetrate our hearts and make changes. God, I pray that you protect the people in this room, bring them back here Sunday, Wednesday, protect health, protect marriages, protect families, protect jobs, protect kids. God, I pray that you would protect the people in this room. Lord, we love you and we praise you for it. God, I pray that if there's any person in this room who is not saved, that they would hear from you tonight and come to know you tonight. Lord, we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope that message was an encouragement to your heart. Now, for weekly updates and for information about Liberty Baptist Church, be sure to follow us on Twitter and like us on Facebook at LBC of Las Vegas. Well, that's it for today. Thanks again for listening. Until next time, God bless.